Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. And with that, calling in is a gubernatorial candidate, Treg Taylor. How you doing, sir?
Good. Doing great, David. Great to be on your show today.
Yeah, thank you for being available. It's, boy, it's getting near June.
No.
Once June hits, you know, that June 1st, everyone has to have their formal campaigns in. And, well, I'm just not going to be taking 19 people running for governor until after the primary. So that's why I'm trying to get you on a few more times here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with that filing deadline, see what teams form and who's who and where they're all at. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it gets interesting as have you looked at lieutenant governor candidates? I'm sure you have, but are you starting to narrow it down?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've got a very particular set of skills that I'm looking for. I want somebody to be able to sell Alaska outside the state. And, you know, I think traditionally we've used our lieutenant governors in a way that hasn't been really productive. You know, they're over elections and they protect the state still, but they can do so much more. And so we've been actively looking and talking with folks and we'll see what comes of that. Hopefully we'll be able to make an announcement here in the next month.
Good for you. You know, there's 18 people running, and, you know, everyone's background or their experience is varied, but yours is very extensive. As the Attorney General for the state of Alaska, how long were you in that position for?
Well, I was there for 4.5 years, which makes me the third longest serving AG in the state's history, which is pretty amazing when you think about it. Yeah.
And as I recall, about once every 12 to 15 days, you were filing suit against the Biden administration for his basically his executive order utopia against Alaska.
Yeah, he had it out for Alaska. You know, his plan was to put 30% of water, 30% of lands into conservation status by 2030. And the only state he was going to get that from was Alaska. And so we were definitely under attack during those 4 years of the Biden administration. And I was really fortunate to be the attorney general during all 4 years, and I could fight back. And so his 70 executive actions really resulted in about 70 pieces of litigation that I filed against the Biden administration. We were very successful in pushing back on his attempts to shut down the state of Alaska, create a big national park.
You know, sadly, we don't even know if he who was doing it.
I know. Yeah, it's that was a crazy 4 years. I sure hope we don't repeat that in our future here as the United States. That was problematic at best.
And with that, we're having a lease sale on Anwer coming up.
Yeah, that's pretty. I'm excited about it. I don't know if everybody else is.
Oh, I am. Yeah.
Yeah. It's June 5th. It'll be the Coastal Plain lease sale for Anwer. And some of your listeners might be saying, well, we've seen this. We've already had this and nothing happened with it. And let me explain a little bit to your listeners what happened. So Biden tried to shut down. He put a moratorium on leasing in this area. We had to sue. We won. And then he was forced to put on a lease sale, but it was a sham lease sale with intentional deal killer requirements. You know, it's basically the verdict of the wife making her husband sell his beloved Mustang or Camaro, and he puts it on the market for 3 times the market price, right? It's not going to sell. And so that's kind of what happened with that lease sale that occurred. And so it was a big sham sale, so nobody made the purchases. But this is going to be a completely different deal. This was part of Trump's Executive Day 1 order that he issued about the state of Alaska, unleashing Alaska's extraordinary resource potential. I was lucky enough to help draft that and work on that and then also implement that order when Trump came into office. So it's going to be a pretty big thing for Alaska. Hopefully hopefully it's going to be on par with the MPRA lease sale that just occurred, which broke records, right?
Yeah.
over 160 million in lease sales, and we learned a bunch of really good things for Alaska that lease sale. First, we have new players coming into the market, you know, new companies doing business in Alaska. Then we had Shell come back. You remember the day not too long ago when Shell pulled out of
the thank you, Obama.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I was working in the oil and gas industry and was in the room that morning when Shell announced to everyone there that they were pulling out of Alaska, and it was like a gut punch. And it's so awesome to see Shell coming back. They partnered with Repsol on a bunch of those lease purchases of the MPRA, and then everybody's kind of been wondering what Exxon's going to do. And Exxon showed that they have Alaska in their future and in their sights because they went big in that lease sale as well, along with ConocoPhillips. So we're in a really good place. I mean, obviously those lease sales are going to take a while to develop, but we've got a lot in the pipeline. You know, we've got literally stuff flowing into the pipeline here soon with the Pica development and then the Willow project to have first oil in 2029. So we're looking, our future's bright.
Well, it's bright, but right now you have a natural gas pipeline and you have a legislature trying to take control of it. And I just don't think Kathy Geisel has the presence of mind to put something together to make this economically operate. It seems more like she's purposely trying to kill this.
It is a crazy thing to see. We have alignment from the federal government. We have alignment from our allies who are desperate for this gas. You know, just looking at what's going on in Iran with the Strait of Hormuz, where the choke point there, where 20% of the world's LNG supply comes across the Strait of Hormuz. So our Asian allies are desperate for gas right now. If that line, for example, if that line had been built and was operating, we could have fulfilled the needs for Japan and South Korea that they had lost based upon that Strait of Hormuz being shut down. So it's a big deal, that line. But more importantly than the exports, it's a big deal to Alaskans who the cost of living will go down, the price of energy, especially in areas like Fairbanks where it's just notoriously high, would go down. I mean, this line is a no-brainer. And if the legislature manages to kill this line, it'll be a devastating blow to Alaska. And I just don't understand what they're thinking down there. This is the biggest. It's a $50 billion investment project, and we're talking construction, high-paying construction jobs, and then 1,000 jobs afterwards just to run the line. You know, it'd be akin to the oil pipeline that we currently have, and so it would be a big boom for Alaska. And for the life of me, I can't figure out why they're trying to kill it in Juneau.
I guess it's his ego. My thought, Kathy Geisel and probably Bill, who's senator charge of Bill Willikowski.
Yeah,
just sadly, they just think they know better than anyone else, my personal thought. And if they can't have it their way, it's not going to get through, period.
Yeah.
And you don't, yeah. My overall philosophy is you never give an economic development to a legislature for operational minute control.
Yeah.
And that's what they're trying to get.
Well, you know, the past legislature who enacted, you know, the bill that put this outside of state's control in a large way. You know, we formed AGDC, Alaska Gas Line Development Corp. The whole idea was to put it outside the purview of politics and put it in the purview of private business.
Yeah.
When it makes economic sense, that line will be built, and it makes economic sense now. And so they had the foresight to do that, but this desire to pull it back in on the cusp of it actually coming into fruition for Alaskans and blessing the lives of everyday Alaskans is tragic. And I sure hope, and they've got time to figure this out. And, you know, I am confident that they will. I'm just hopeful because I feel like this is one of the babies that I worked on as the attorney general too, because, you know, we negotiated that sale to Glenn Farne, where it was 8-Star. So 8-Star was owned 100% by AGDC, and then 75% was purchased by Glenn Farne, who's going to act basically like Alyeska does for the gas pipeline as the developer of this project. And so, and then watching that and pushing that as the attorney general, To see it sort of get to our own legislature and then run into headwinds is pretty upsetting.
It's tragic, and the economic fallout from this can be generational.
Oh yeah, no, it is a big part of Alaska's future as far as our energy supplies go in state. And our ability to project American energy dominance outside of the United States. And so, we saw some movement yesterday. I don't know if you followed it, but there was a Trump issued an order for the defense production under the Defense Production Act in the oil sphere. We still don't know what that means for this line. I suspect it'll probably have something to do with the financing for this line, of being able to guarantee the loans that is needed to build this line by the federal government. But, you know, it was an interesting step, I think, in helping this line get forward, because this is a project that President Trump feels very strongly about. It almost feels like it's one of his legacy projects for the United States. It would be one of the biggest infrastructure projects in U.S. history. So we desperately need it.
Trey, we're going to take a commercial break, okay?
Yep, thank you.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Did your vehicle survive 145 days of sub-zero temperatures this winter? If so, it deserves a participation trophy. Months of torture on your vehicle's systems like suspension, brakes, and fluids really takes a toll. Spring into action with Glacier Garage and bring your rig in for the maintenance it deserves. At Glacier Garage, our technicians will inspect the key systems winter loves to punish and make sure your car is ready for the roads ahead. Don't wait for a small issue to become a costly repair. Call Glacier Garage or find us online at glaciergarage.com. And after this winter, we all deserve a participation trophy.
Hi, this is Dr. Amy Seiberlich here to tell you about Health Talk. Every Saturday at noon, join Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical and special guests like me who have our fingers on the pulse of Fairbanks Golden Heart. Learn about a wide range of topics and pick up some beneficial health tips and practical health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen live every Saturday at noon or online anytime at kfarradio.com. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by White Spruce Medical. Check us out at whitesprucemedical.com.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their award-winning tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $3 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Find the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief today for a free consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
KFAR Weather.
The winter weather advisory continues until 10 p.m. tonight. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with a slight chance for snow shower. A dusting of snow today. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Eric Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Treg Taylor, gubernatorial candidate, on the line with me. How you doing, sir? Treg, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
I had your speakers off there for a moment. Sorry about that. What the heck?
No problem. Not a problem at all.
You know, I guess what I say is you're on the tour with everyone. You have all these forums and talks and debates and locations, and you have a Safari Club International one coming up, don't you?
We do, yeah. It's going to be tomorrow evening down in Kenai. Looking forward to it, yeah.
What do you expect? I mean, do they have pre-planned questions for you? Do everyone get a – how many people are going?
There's going to be six candidates, I think, there. And yet their first two questions, we know what those are going to be. And, of course, it's, you know, Safari Club International's interest. So it's going to be, you know, land use, hunting rights, those types of things, conservation issues. And so, yeah, it's going to be first two known. And then the rest, we're going to get down and sit at different tables and get asked questions. And so it'll be a fun thing. I'm looking forward to it. You know, Safari Club International has been an important fighter for Alaska for many years. Their largest chapter is up here in Alaska. They actually have an attorney within the organization dedicated to Alaska causes. We work very closely with Safari Club International on a bunch of the different pieces of litigation that the state had. Probably the closest working relationship we had with any outside group was Safari Club International. And so we were able to get some wins for Alaska and our ability to live the way we want to live up here and exercise the Alaska way of life, which is hunting and fishing and subsistence and those types of issues.
You know, most people don't realize the amount of funding that is placed in the state coffers due to licenses, hunting licenses and out-of-state licenses and tags that come in.
Right. And then what a lot of other people don't realize is that how much of that goes to conservation, how much of that goes to helping the health of the herds and whatnot and the fish stock and everything else. And so it's a vital part of our management, of fish and game management for the state.
After Safari Club International down south, any other forums after that that are scheduled?
Yeah, we're going to be, I think, Glen Allen. We're going to be out there May 2nd, I believe, is the date on that. And then we've got some other dates around Alaska as we go out and visit people and hear what they're concerned about. Largely what we're hearing is they just think Alaska is on the wrong path, right? That we just need to change the trajectory of Alaska, help Alaska fulfill its potential, both economically and from a freedoms perspective. And then the other thing I hear a lot is that it's about the opportunity for their kids to build their lives here and have good economic opportunity. And so that's a lot of what we're focused on and a lot of what I've fought for as the Attorney General.
You know, it seems like a lot of our costs to live here are self-imposed, like our utilities.
Right.
You know, I this GVA in my mind is one of the most mismanaged electrical cooperatives that you could ever get. And we don't have a choice. It's sad.
Well, there's that, you know, in the beginning, you can kind of understand the reason for having a monopoly in that sort of field, the energy field, to supply energy for communities' needs. But I'm just glad that there's provisions in our law and state law that basically if there's outside groups, companies that come in that can provide cheaper energy, those types of, you know, GVA, whether it's Chugach, whether it's Homer Electric, they're required to purchase the power if the private producers can produce it cheaper, and so I'm hoping that we're going to see an influx of folks coming up to help reduce our energy costs by setting up their private companies and generate electricity for the state of Alaska. And we see a bunch of those projects in the works, like Terra Energy, for example.
Yeah,
there's several others. Hopefully, we're going to see something. Maybe up on the slope soon. There's just all kinds of opportunity and businesses are going to take advantage of it. So at least we have that going.
Very true. Very true. My goodness. So you're going around the state and you're hearing a lot of people talk to you about the issues that are important to them. What's, you know, quality of life, affordability. What's some of the other ones that you hear a lot about?
It's a lot about just being able to live as Alaskans, to be able to continue to participate in the things that people associate with being as part of our culture, right? The fishing, the hunting, the subsistence, the ability to live off the land, fill our freezers, be self-providing people. And that people are seeing that all over the state as being threatened, whether it's on the Yukon or the Kuskokwim where they've struggled with fish runs, or whether it's the keen eye for fishing for kings. People are just kind of frustrated with their inability to sort of to live that lifestyle. And I see it. You know, I have six children. My three oldest have all caught kings.
Yeah.
Right. My three youngest, we haven't even fished for kings. We haven't even sniffed at kings because of the problems with those runs. And so it's the big message is return the runs, right? Get the, we'll see a return of the runs.
You know, you're going to be in Soldotna tomorrow.
Yes.
And it just shocks me that when is the last time anyone could catch a king on the Kenai River?
Yeah. No.
King salmon capital of the world.
Yeah. It's a shame. And we've got to figure that out. And so we've got to take action as a state, and I'm willing to take the action necessary to return those runs.
Very true. Very true. You know, as Attorney General, were there any actions against the state or for the state to help liven our stocks?
As far as fish stocks go?
Yeah, just, you know, are, you know, were we looking at, you know, stopping Japanese trawlers or Russian trawlers from coming in or anything like that, any activities?
We've seen kind of that evolution in the state historically, right? First, it was the foreign commercial fishing that was taking place, and under the Magnuson-Stevens Act that was turned back over to American operators, and now we're seeing the problems with bycatch, and that's a big part of my campaign, is my promise not to take money from the trawling industry.
Mm-hmm.
We can't allow damage to our to the environment, and we can't allow, you know, the killing of fish, right, that Alaskans rely on. And so we need to be, you know, taking action. So I vowed that the first day I'll start the process of reforming the board of the Federal Fisheries Council, which, you know, the governor doesn't directly appoint. He does one, right? He gets to pick the fish and game commissioner that's on the board, and then he can put forward names to the Secretary of Commerce, who then selects from those names to fill five of those additional positions. So Alaska really has an outside voice on that council, and so I'm going to make sure that council is filled with Alaskans that are going to push put Alaskan first, right? And my motto has always been kind of Alaskan fish, Alaskans first, and that's how I'm gonna govern.
That's a very good motto. My goodness, huh? What is important in this gubernatorial election down in Anchorage, the bowl there?
Well, that's a lot about crime and homelessness. That's the big concerns we're seeing here in Anchorage. People are frustrated. I talked to somebody in the tourism industry, and they had pulled their people that had come to Anchorage, and 58% of them said they absolutely did not want to come back to Anchorage. And that's problematic for us. We've got to figure that out. We got to change that. And on the crime issue, obviously that's near and dear to my heart as the Attorney General.
Yeah.
You know, most of the crime in the state. And I think there's things that we can easily do. We just got to enforce the law when it comes to the homeless populations. Right now, there's kind of two groups of citizens, one if you're homeless and one if you're not. You know, and if you're not, you're going to pay the fines and you're going to go to jail. If you're homeless, you're not going to pay the fines and you're not going to go to jail, right? And so there's kind of two groups of citizenship. And the first step in stopping that is just to enforce the law equally.
There you go. Treg, we're going to take a commercial break here, okay?
All right.
And Fairbanks, we're going to have some bumper music. We're going to have some Fox News, some state news, commercials, and weather, and we will be back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Federal Reserve Chair nominee Kevin Warsh preparing for a confirmation hearing before the Senate Banking Committee today.
Monetary policymakers must act in the nation's interest. Their decisions the product of rigor, deliberation, and unclouded decision-making.
The nominee's confirmation could depend on the support of North Carolina Republican Senator Tom Tillis. He said he would not confirm Warsh until the Justice Department drops its investigation into the current Fed chair, Jerome Powell. His term expires next month. Representative Sheila Sherfalos McCormick resigning from Congress, the Florida Democrat, doing this rather than being formally disciplined by the House as part of an ethics investigation into her use of campaign funds. She wrote in a social media post that the internal investigation process was unfair. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KTOO reports President Trump has appointed Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy to a seat on the U.S. Arctic Research Commission. The commission promotes Arctic science and establishes priorities for funding research projects in Alaska and the international Arctic. This is the first time a sitting governor has served on the commission, according to USARC Executive Director John Farrell, and the appointment takes effect immediately. Dunleavy's spokesman did not answer questions about how much time or travel he expected the position to take. Mead Treadwell, who chaired the commission before he was elected lieutenant governor of Alaska, said the position is important, especially since the U.S. gained a lot of Arctic territory in 2023 by laying claim to the extended outer continental shelf. The position will also allow Dunleavy to press the Interior Department to advance energy and critical minerals projects in the Arctic, Treadwell said. Another priority, he said, might be to resolve questions about Alaska's fishery disasters.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
And streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have gubernatorial candidate Treg Taylor on the radio, past attorney general. How you doing, sir?
Doing great, David. Thank you for having me on your show.
You know, it's just last week I was reading about a big raid down in Juneau with multiple houses of prostitution rounded up.
Yeah.
And here we were talking about, you know, enforcing the law for everyone. And right. when you go after a multi-jurisdictional task force that's been looking at this for 8 months, I have a feeling you were one of the people who started this.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and it was a bust of 7 arrests so far, several in New York, but it was in Anchorage and the Mat-Su is where most of that operation took place. But it was one of those things where you saw the problem. We knew that human trafficking, specifically sex trafficking, was going on in Alaska, and it was a matter of just trying to get a coalition of law enforcement interested in pursuing it, and so I pushed very hard for those investigations. So I'm very proud. I've been waiting like everyone else, because once I stepped down as the attorney general, run for governor, I knew the operation was going right, because we got it going and we were close to seeing the operation actually carried out. And so I was just been waiting for that headline for a long time. But it is 1 year investigation. And like I said, it 11 victims sex trafficking were being helped currently, and so it was a big deal, and I think it'll be an ongoing investigation. But you're right, getting multiple departments, multiple different jurisdictions to work together, you know, Department of Law, APD, AST, and the FBI were the main players in it. But then we got assists from Homeland Security, U.S. Customs and Border, Army CID, Coast Guard, Wasilla PD, so airport police. So there's a lot of people involved in that, and so it was a really cool thing to see that headline in the news and know that I was spearheaded that effort. So really happy to see that. And I think it goes without saying, as governor, I'm going to continue to crack down on that human trafficking, because it is an issue. And I think for so long we kept thinking,
I think people think that that's not a problem in Alaska, but it definitely is.
You know, the sad part about it is, and I don't mean about this case, I'm going to use an example. A good friend of mine who was a city council member, he's sitting on city council, John Ringsted. Do you know John?
I don't know him. I've heard the name. Maybe I've met him on pages. I don't know him well.
Past legislator. Last summer, he was attacked by a guy sleeping in a truck in his driveway. And John took a few stitches and blows to the head and you know, put the guy down. The guy got arrested. The gentleman had 74 different you know, crimes had been filed against him. I mean, this is as habitual repeat offender as you can get. And our deputy attorney general up here brought, you know, assault case and another case against him. And our jury did not find him guilty of assault. And so sometimes it is not the process of what you do as attorney general or your deputy attorney generals. It's 10 people going to a jury room. What do they come out with? And you're the shocked.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a multi, it crosses branches of government even, right?
Because yeah.
Within the executive lies the power to investigate. And then as the attorney general, I could prosecute, but I could only prosecute. I had very little investigative authority. There's some investigative authority on Medicaid fraud and those types of issues. But for the vast majority of it, I had to rely completely on law enforcement. And so whether that was getting AST or APD to investigate different things that came to our awareness, and then once they investigate, then it comes to us, who then have the discretion to prosecute or not to prosecute or how to prosecute. And then we got to go rely on
a jury,
the judiciary, to not, you know, and then a jury ultimately, right? And so it's a long process. But we worked. I mean, when I came in, and I still remember testifying before the Senate for my confirmation here, that the number one issue I wanted to deal with was sexual assault, because we lead the nation in that statistic, and we're almost double the next closest state. So it's a huge issue for us here in Alaska. And so I really wanted to focus on that. We did a number of things. We did a little bit of reorganization, formed a special unit to take that on. And we've got success, right? Crimes down 40 lows right now in Alaska, and specifically sexual assaults down 25%.
Those are big wins. Those are big wins.
But it takes a group effort. It takes someone to be able to spearhead it and lead it and continue to push on it. And so I'm really proud of that record. And we still got a lot of work to do. Don't get me wrong. We are still the worst in the nation in that statistic, and we got to continue to focus on it and to bring those perpetrators to justice.
You know, it's never over, and you always have to. You always have to be diligent and after it. You just can't let it grow, so to speak. You got to, you know, crime and boy. Economically speaking, as governor, what would you be looking at wanting to do for the state of Alaska to raise different revenues, income streams?
Well, you know, I think that's, I'm kind of uniquely positioned to push the state forward on day one. I mean, I've been on your show talking about this before, but you know, I helped draft Trump's executive order unleashing Alaska's extraordinary resource potential, which is basically a wish list of all the projects and infrastructure that we've been wanting in Alaska for the last 40 years. And then I helped implement that once Trump took office and issued that for his first day in office. And so working with Department of Energy, working with the DOJ, the Department of Interior, and the Department of Energy, to fulfill that executive order. And we're seeing that Trump's kept his promises and the state's been working side by side, and I work side by side with him, but you know, we've seen him. He keeps pushing. One of the big projects was the Alaska Gas Line. He's been pushing that, the 1002, the state selection of lands, Ambler Road rights away. I'm just trying to go through a list of, from memory here, King Cove Road Agreement, all these things that we've been wanting. We now have a federal government putting the full weight of the federal government behind, and we have to take that opportunity as a state. And I think that, again, is why it's so hard to see what's going on in the legislature with that gas line, because the stars are aligned both globally with what's going on in the globe and the Panama Canal and Iran and Venezuela. And so the timing is right for this gas line, and we just can't screw it up in the legislature.
Yet, sadly, that's a direction that a few of them want to take.
Yep.
You know, also at the same time, you have the Ambler Metals, you know, the Ambler Road Project, and they're starting to, you know, work on the engineering of that. But I just found it incredible that President Trump bought into, you know, had the United States government buy into the Ambler Metals Corporation's ownership entity there, so to help bring this to fruition.
Yeah, no, not only did he grant the rights of way, which we've been litigating over for a lot of years, which is crazy that we had to litigate it because it's there. It's right there. It says thou shalt grant access, and but we've had to litigate for many years, and then being able to put that in that executive order for Trump and him issuing it, and then him following up on that and granting those right of ways. That was the first step, but he took it a step further, and you're right. He absolutely invested in the companies that are going to make and build those mines, and it's huge. And it's what I think he realizes is that we desperately need those critical minerals. We desperately need the rare earth. There's at least one rare earth that they have loaned large quantities out there in the Ambler Mining District. And right now, those are all controlled by China. 90% of those are controlled by China. And so we're desperately trying to develop those resources within the United States and our allies, because at any moment, China could shut off the supply, and that is exactly what we're using to build it. We're in this AI race with China, right? This technology race.
Yeah.
And if we don't have those, we aren't going to compete very well. And so we see those. And Alaska really is on the cusp of just a huge economic boom because of that, because we have rare earths in spades, whether in different mining districts throughout the state, and we just need access to them. And we need private companies to come in and develop those.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Governor candidate Treg Taylor, and your name is?
Randy, and I'd like to ask about the Fairbanks Fish Hatchery. I was watching Juneau legislature on TV a week ago or so, and I saw them discussing the budget, and Ashley Carrick, representative from Fairbanks, and Maxine Dybert both voted against funding the Fairbanks Fish Hatchery. Now, I don't know if when the legislation went over to the Senate, if the Senate put it in or not. I'm not up on that. But what I'm curious about, is there a reason? Is there a group of people who don't want the fish hatchery funded? And if so, why not?
Treg, what do you think?
I can't possibly begin to imagine what the reasoning was for their votes. And I'm not sure what a lot of times there's a lot more to it than meets the eye. And so I'm sure that if you would call their offices, they'd provide you an explanation of why they did what they did. And then you get to decide whether that was a good reason for doing what they did or not. But if you reach out to their offices, they will reach back out to you and talk with you or send you an email about why they did what they did. And I think our legislature is fairly good at doing that and communicating with their constituencies. And so I don't doubt that this will be the case in this instance.
Yeah, it's interesting. We have in the interior, you have the Republicans yelling at Maxine Dybert and Ashley Carrick for voting to defund it. I mean, they're going, are you nuts?
Yeah.
And now it's a wait and see if the Senate will put it back in. So we'll see what happens. But
it's crazy when you see legislators take action that is contrary to the what's good for their constituency and what their constituency wants. And so it'd be a good time to reach out to them and ask them why they did it.
There you go. We're going to take a commercial break, okay, sir?
Thank you.
Fairbanks will be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Are you ready to take on the tough trails with your whole crew? You'll find the Yamaha Wolverine 4x4 to the right fit and the right level of tough to go where you need to go and do what you want to do. See the lineup from the Alaska Fun Center at the Outdoor Show at the Carlson Center.
KFAR Radio is proud to bring you 50-50 Friday. Every Friday at 9 a.m., log on to our website for a half-price offer from a local business. Great deals on restaurants, stores, shops, services, sporting events, and more. It's 50-50 Friday. This week's offer...
Skip the same old routine. Break out at Escape Room AK. Right now, get a four-person escape room experience for half off. Just $60, $120 value. Need a team-building activity that actually works? Escape Room AK is a perfect way to strengthen communication, build trust, and improve working relationships, all while having a blast. Families, friends, coworkers, this is your chance to bond, compete, and win bragging rights. Book now at escaperoomak.com or call 907-748-0660. Escape the ordinary, if you can.
So log on to KFARradio.com this Friday morning starting at 9 a.m. for this awesome half-price offer. But hurry, as this deal will go fast. It's 50-50 Friday from KFAR.
It's that time of year. Time for a good spring cleaning. No, we're not talking about your house. We're talking about your mouth. Get over to Affordable Dental Care off 14th Avenue. Schedule a good cleaning this spring for your mouth. They work with your insurance, offer full dental services for the entire family, and they back it up with those affordable prices. So before you start dusting ceiling fans and cleaning rugs, call Affordable Dental Care and start your spring cleaning today. In your mouth. That's Affordable Dental Care off 14th Avenue. Online at adcak.com.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
A winter weather advisory continues until 10 p.m. tonight. Slight chance of snow showers this afternoon. Otherwise, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Daytime highs approaching 35. Westerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies again tonight. Lows dip down to about 8 above. A dusting of snow today. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have gubernatorial candidate, past Attorney General, Craig Taylor, on the radio with me, calling in from parts unknown of Alaska. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, David. Thank you.
You know, when you decide to run for governor in the state of Alaska, a couple things come to mind. Your family has to be all in, and you have an incredible family, sir.
Thank you. And that is absolutely true, and I can tell you, it even when I was the attorney general, right, when you're making decisions and you're trying to push forward and protect Alaska's way of life and protect our economic future, and especially from all the federal overreach that we were seeing under the Biden administration, you know, you get beat up pretty good in the media and other places, and it's really hard. It's hard when you know your wife reads an article about you or the comments in the comment section on social media that and so it
vilify you and are effort. Totally wrong.
Yeah, well, it just is. It is what it is. You know.
Yeah.
It's part of being in the arena and engaging in the fight, and unfortunately, it's unavoidable with social media and with the way our media is right now. It's all about picking sides and then beating up the other side. So you just have to expect that if you're going to get into these types of things. And I knew that when I took the role as the AG, and I'm ready to do it again as your governor, you know, pushing Alaska forward.
There you go. Now, another thing is, when you're running for governor in the state of Alaska, what has your travel schedule been like?
It's been great in that I get out and I'm seeing a lot of different Alaskans and meeting a lot of really, really cool people who care about the state, who have ideas for bettering the state. And so that's been probably the coolest aspect of the entire campaign, is meeting Alaskans and going out and meeting them where they're at, right, in their communities and dealing with their issues, you know. And so that's travel schedule's big. It's a big part of it, and you gotta make that determination. Am I gonna drive for 6 hours, or am I gonna get on an airplane, and how do I spend as much time as I can on the ground talking to people and getting the message out about what I stand for and how I'm gonna go about protecting Alaska's sovereignty and our future.
Yeah, your messaging for such a big state, such a diverse state. Boy, there, you know, one shoe does not fit all.
Yes, that is absolutely true.
Oh, so when you go to Glen Allen, is there a thought or a theme on from the host of what's going to be on the agenda there?
Well, I think it's going to be about economic development. I think everywhere I go, education is an important thing, and obviously that's near and dear to my heart because mm-hmm. I have six children. And part of my tenure as the AG was defending the right of parents to determine the education for their children, whether it be through the public correspondence program, which, you know, the NEA, the teachers union sued to stop that program. And we, you know, at that time we had over 20,000 students in Alaska. That's 20% of our student population using the correspondence program to get a public education. And so when we won that in the Alaska Supreme Court, that was a big day.
This was against the NEA, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, the NEA, yes, that's exactly right. They didn't want the correspondence program to continue, and so they challenged it on constitutional grounds. And so we fought back, and we won. Now that fight continues to this day because they've come back and they've said, okay, so the statute, the enabling statutes are constitutional, but the way that certain school districts are implementing the program is unconstitutional. And so that's a fight that the state is still engaged in.
You know, the NEA, I say this all the time, but the NEA disgusts me, sadly. They are against charter schools. They are against homeschools. They want public education in the brick and mortar where they're at, no place else. So it's their fight for the public money.
Yeah.
My personal thought.
Yeah, and I think it's in like all spaces, it's about competition.
Yeah.
Without competition, you grow stagnant. You lose sight of what's important. You engage in tangential things that aren't core, like English and math, and so competition is what reignites. And so the correspondence program really is the brick and mortar school's best friend, right? Because it's that competition that'll make our brick and mortar schools better. And so the more competition we have, the better our schools are going to be in all aspects, whether it be brick and mortar, through the correspondence program, through private school, or through genuine homeschool programs, right? That's the key competition.
And, education is a foundation of all. Anyway, university up here. Are you going to, next time you're up here, are you going to be visiting our university?
I have not. I don't have that currently on the calendar or planned out, but that's something that we need to do. Our university system is absolutely important, as you alluded to. Right now, we're going to see a huge uptick in the job sector and the economy here, and so we need to make sure we're putting qualified applicants into the job market to fill those positions. Otherwise, we're going to see what we see, and that is a growing portion of our workforce is coming from the lower 48, and that should not happen. And so we got to make sure our university system is best preparing our kids, and our K-12 is best preparing our kids to be able to take on the jobs that are the great jobs that Alaska has to offer.
So I have to ask you the hand grenade question. If you are elected governor, will you be attending the Governor's Cup hockey games? Fairbanks has won like 15 in a row, you know.
Yeah,
I'm sort of punching Anchorage here.
I look at that as one of the perks of being the governor, and really that is just a cross section, a beautiful cross section of what Alaska is, and being there with those fans, you got to be on the ground talking to individuals in order to understand what Alaska needs and where Alaska's at. And so that will be critical, getting out and talking to the people as governor to help hone kind of the course that we're going to take to make Alaska reach its full potential.
You know, Alaska is a hockey state. It really is. And you know, once for whatever reason, I grew up with baseball, but it's a hockey state now. And the toughest ticket to get in Fairbanks is that UAA at UAF hockey game. I mean, it's this, it's the rivalry you have to have. You know, the big city against a smaller city, the head of the university system against the Anchorage area. and it's a great rivalry, and it's so good that UAA got their hockey program back. I mean,
yeah.
It was gone for about 4 or 5 years, but like you said, the best thing for the brick and mortar schools is correspondence. The best thing for University of Alaska at Fairbanks hockey was the Sea Wolves getting a hockey team again. I mean, it's just something, it's a flavor that's hard to explain.
No, those rivalries are something. People look forward to those all year. They mark it on the calendar, and they're going to be there, or nothing's going to prevent them from being there. And so those rivalries are so much fun.
Yeah. We got about 3 minutes left there, sir. How do you want to end it?
Well, I mean, we could talk, let's talk about Second Amendment. I think most Alaskans feel that the Second Amendment is obviously one of those constitutional rights that we've got to defend. And it's concerning to see what's going on in the lower 48. I mean, we just had a Hawaii Supreme Court on decide that you aren't allowed to carry a firearm in public. And you know what the grounds were that they found that?
What was that?
It was the spirit of aloha overcame the Second Amendment. And so that is the kind of shenanigans we're up against. And so... I'm really proud of my record as the Attorney General on this issue, because it's so important for Alaskans as hunters and outdoorsmen. It's so important for American citizens, as the founders, intended it as a check on government. And it's so important for individuals, protect themselves and their families. And so it's a right that we ought to be focused on and protecting and actively involved in. As the Attorney General, I got to sue the ATF twice, one on their ban on stabilizer braces, which are so important to our wounded warriors, our disabled citizens who rely on those stabilizer braces to protect themselves and engage in the shooting sports. And then they also tried to expand the definition of firearms, which would have just opened Pandora's box on the ability of the federal government to restrict our Second Amendment. And we were successful on that. And then I fought the unconstitutional restrictions on the ban of AR-15s, the ban of standard capacity magazines, and then fought to overcome the unlawful limits on handgun purchasers. So you engage in these across the U.S. because it's eventually going to find its way to the U.S. Supreme Court, and what the U.S. Supreme Court decides is going to be binding on Alaska. And so I was active in that space as the Attorney General, and as your governor, I'm definitely going to continue that activity because it is so important to our way of life here in Alaska.
We don't just protect ourselves from other human beings. We have things out there that can eat or stomp us.
I remember there was that musher from out of state that had the 38 on her, and the moose was going into the dog teams, and I remember just the comments in the social media about what was she doing with a 38. Doesn't she know in Alaska that these things will kill you? And so that is absolutely right. When we recreate, that's a big part of it, to do it safely. And so you're absolutely right. It is absolutely part of our way of life, and we've got to protect that.
There you go. Well, hey, I greatly appreciate your time. Next time you're in town or you're coming into town, let me know. We'll get you here in the studio with us. And I so appreciate you running for this great endeavor, and I wish you the best of luck, sir.
I really appreciate it, David. Thank you for letting me on your program, and I'd love to be able to engage with your listeners some more in the future.
You got it. You have a great day, sir. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Yep, bye-bye.
And Fairbanks, that is our show today, trying to get all the gubernatorial candidates on between now and June 1st, because that's when all the applicants must be in. And sorry about that. All the applicants must be in, and so they're trying to get everyone on, because after that, if I have one on, I have to have 18 on, and it's not going to be doing that. So you have a great day, and I will see you tomorrow.